Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Old Nazi Mitch.
Nazi, yes.
Nazi That's Mitch.
That's a term that's been a little popular for me in the last day or two.
We'll get into that. Do you think Charles was freaked out when I showed him my ass today on the Zoom
Probably,
call?
Yeah. That's something that you don't know you're signing up for. If you sign up for Tradewinds, you might get a shot of David's ass on a Zoom
he
call.
He didn't see. He just saw the top.
You know, what's worse?
I wasn't bent over. It was just like this much of the top from my ass being bruised on the ski trip.
Yeah, what's worse? You showing Charles your ass on the Zoom call, or both of us coming home from the ski trip with bruised asses?
I know my ass wasn't bruised where yours was.
I mean, we were matchy-matchy on the shirts, too.
So. Dude, I can't... Look, you posted that, and I was like, man, this will be a great photo. This will be like one of our photos, like, you know, in my stuff. Nope. I turn on the Facebook. There we are.
There
two ass bags wearing the same fucking shirt.
Red-faced, wind-burned, cold, half-drunk, partially high guys.
I was a little drunk, yeah, because we were waiting to go out.
Yeah, it was right before dinner.
Oh, my God. It was a good time, dude.
Yeah.
I had a great time.
It was a lot of fun.
It was fantastic.
Even, so, like, Danielle got the Rona, like, 3 days or 4 days before the ski trip.
The Wuhan Red Death?
The
Wuhan Red Death.
Yes.
The Fauci clinic disease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she gets that, and now it's like, oh, crap, what are we going to do? Well, we just got to tough it out.
I wanted
so
to
she
say,
only skied one of the 4 days.
I wanted to tell her, stay the fuck home.
Yeah.
But I was like, I can't do it. You know,
no,
I can't
yeah.
do that. She'll lose her mind.
Well,
she's crazy already.
And now Rona is no big, it's nothing, you know what I mean? It's the flu, right?
Yeah.
And if anybody else was sick with any kind of thing, you'd say, just come and tough it out, you know? And
well, it's so. People forget that. If you're over 55 and have the flu, you could die too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think first time I had the vid wasn't too bad. Second time I was really sick.
Yeah.
And I think I had it last year and didn't test or anything, but I felt okay.
Yeah.
You know, and Joey's got it right now and he just sounds like he's got a cold. Joey's my brother, but
I've had it twice that I know of. The first time I got it was like literally the most sick I had ever been in my life to that point.
Yeah, you went and got antibody treatment.
Yeah, we went and did the monoclonal antibodies. I did the whole ivermectin thing. I basically followed the Joe Rogan protocol. And
it was still sick as fuck.
I didn't really care about testing negative because I'm self-employed. I didn't have to like
no,
test
No, you were trying
to
feel
to
better.
Work. But like I'm going to say the worst day was the day after I got the monoclonal antibodies, and then it took off from there. And we got the monoclonal antibodies late in the evening. It was dark when we walked into the hospital. So... that was like the most sick I'd ever been.
Do you hear that buzzing?
I do.
Just take that fader. Remember where it is. Turn it down. There you go.
Got it. Okay.
I don't want that through the whole fucking podcast.
Yeah.
We're doing something a little new today.
So
Mitch has the technology.
I got the soundboard right next to me, and I'm not technologically
smart.
We'll
be lucky
so this'll be interesting.
If any of this shit works.
Yeah. So then last year, I got sick again, and I thought it was COVID. It felt like everything was the same, and so I go get tested, and COVID's showing negative, and it was like influenza B.
Yeah,
and
flu
that's,
was awful last 2 years.
Yeah, that's what ended my run at 75 hard with only like 11 days left to go, and I had like 11 days to try to get better before the ski trip, and thankfully I did.
Yeah, last year.
But part of that for me, I think that was the leanest I've ever been in my life. As far as like body fat percentage. And I know you're more susceptible. The leaner you are, the more susceptible you are to getting sick. There's a balance point. It doesn't mean like if you're obese, you don't get sick because that happens too.
Yeah.
But when you're so crazy lean, it lessens your ability to fight off disease.
You know, we talk about this stuff all the time. I think it just depends on the person. Like
yeah,
I'm
does.
Super lean. Man, I haven't been sick in like 2 years, yeah. Like other than just a little cold.
Yeah, I only get sick like once a year. And when I do, it puts me on my ass for like 24 hours to 3 days.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And so that was the last time I was that crazy sick. I did get sick on a Saturday. I had like a 24-hour bug where I had like 104 fever on a Saturday, never got out of bed. And that was it.
Yeah.
That was like 3 or 4 months Sunday. Ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
sickly fuckers over here at this house.
Yeah.
Seems like it.
It was a lot of fun on the ski trip. It didn't snow a fraction of an inch the whole time we were out there.
It was hard.
But it was,
that was hard.
It was low 30s and sunny every day, which was really cool. Made for some awesome views at the top of the mountain.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And every time we go out there, I do my best to try to hike to the top. And there was the top of the mountain was only open like one day while we were out there.
I think it was like 1.5 days. Yeah.
Yeah. And
one morning and then one full day.
Day two, it was open, and I went ahead and split off from everybody and hiked to the top.
I love the night before. I think I'm going to climb to the top tomorrow. Who wants to go?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Yeah.
I've done it. I'm over it. I saw it once. It was cool as shit.
Yeah. You're hiking.
I'm over it.
You're hiking up about 300 feet in elevation, and you're hiking about 100 yards in length.
Yeah.
But at 13,000 feet.
That's a haul. Yeah.
So I had to stop twice to catch my breath. My eyes, like I was okay hiking out of breath, but my eyes started getting blurry. Like you're on the verge of passing out, you know?
Yeah. That's not where you want to pass out.
Yeah. I stopped twice, on the way up, but
was there a lot of carved steps?
Oh yeah.
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 Pretty worn path.
Yeah.
Since it hadn't snowed.
Yeah. It's just a matter of just stepping into those steps that everyone else have made, but,
and don't be afraid of falling.
Well, I mean, you could fall, but you're not really going to go anywhere.
It's not that bad.
It's really rocky.
Wide.
Yeah, where you hike up to the top, it's really rocky. It's like snowy on the path, but it's real rocky off to the sides. So you're not going to like slip and slide down the mountain.
Yeah.
But yeah, hiked to the top, caught my breath, got some really cool views and videos and everything else. And then last year when we did this, I just skied down the main bowl. This year, I'm like, screw it. I've never done a chute before. Let's go do the chutes.
Those chutes are... They're scary.
Freaking
as fuck.
Steep.
They're scary.
They're over 45 degrees. Yeah, if you eat it, you're not stopping until the bottom.
No.
Yeah.
They're airlifting your ass out of there.
Well, so these chutes, they're called the lake chutes, and there's a frozen lake underneath them. And so
I'm out.
You just slide down the mountain until you hit the lake, and then then you stop. So I'm like, let's try it. I'm on skis at this point. And so I went and did the chutes and had fun, took some cool photos of that. I wanted to film it, but I didn't have a way to film it and ski at the same time.
Should have taken my GoPro.
I should have.
Yeah.
But, you know, did that. Even I managed to stop in the middle. I found a spot where I could stop in the middle of the chutes and took some more photos. That was kind of cool.
Yeah. That, there's not a lot of places to stop.
No.
It's really steep and really rocky.
I ended up going off a couple foot cliff by accident because it's so steep you can't really see where the rocks are. There's snow on top of them.
No.
And you don't even know you went off a cliff until you like land and you're like, oh fuck, that was a drop.
Yeah. Or halfway through and you're like, oh, don't land. Yep. Make sure you land it. Land it. Land it. Land it.
But I ended up switching to snowboarding for the last 2 days, which is how I got the bruised ass. David got the bruised ass on day two by catching a back edge.
Dude, I was doing 4 miles an hour.
Literally bruised ass.
Dude, it was bad. Mine was purple.
And
it
then,
was bad.
I ended up catching a backside edge on day three, which was my first day of snowboarding. and on the same run.
Yeah.
In the same spot, pretty much. Yeah. And
it's at the bottom of the hill where you're just trying to navigate kids and go slow, get back to the lift.
Yeah.
I was with Layla when I did it. I'm looking at her. She's like, hey, Dad, I'm up.
Bam. Yeah. That's what mine was, too. And we both came home with black and blue asses. But
it was a nice break.
We had a lot of fun. Celebrated some birthdays. My birthday was the week before the ski trip. Danielle's birthday was on the ski trip. Joey's birthday was on the ski trip, same day.
Yeah.
So, had some fun.
Yeah. Spent a lot of money.
Spent a lot of money, but that's what you do those trips for, so.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a whole lot of fun.
Hey, boys and girls, it's David. Mitch and I started TradeWinds to help trades professionals start their business, or if they've already started, to get it to a healthy and profitable level. It's training, it's coaching, it's mentoring, all in one. Click on the link in the description to find out a little bit more. There's a promotional video you can watch when you go to the website. If you fill out the contact form, I'll even make Mitch call you.
Let's get back to you being a Nazi.
Yeah, so...
You were getting crushed yesterday.
Well
you—I shouldn't say that.
I mean, I handled it well.
You were
I had two obnoxious people trying to crush me, but they were so obnoxious that nobody wanted to believe them.
I haven't asked you what. How did it even start?
So a former coworker of mine, who is definitely on the liberal side of things, posted a Facebook post of a general that is leaving the White House staff, and he's taking the opportunity to try to chastise the current administration. He was at the White House from 2020 to 2024.
Okay.
So obviously he leans a certain way.
Yeah.
Right. And so now he's leaving and he's doing this whole exit letter, open letter to the public of this is what I'm seeing from the inside. And
it's been 3 days.
The whole open letter thing is bullshit anyway. But
this is what I see. In 1 week, they've changed the face of America.
Yeah.
Stop.
And it's really bad when you have a high ranking military official taking this stance. But the guy was trying to get you to believe that the current administration is following in the steps of Nazism. And I simply just commented on the thing and I said,
what did you say?
I was very delicate with what I said. I just said, I don't believe anybody who tries to liken any U.S. leader to a Nazi. Until you kill millions of people based on their religion alone, you can't compare anybody to Nazism. And that, like, I stop listening. If you tried to say Kamala Harris was a Nazi, I would stop listening to you.
You'd be like, you're a dumbass.
She's an idiot, and I don't agree with her policies, but she's far from a Nazi, right?
Yeah, she's too dumb to be a Nazi. Yeah. They're pretty smart.
Yeah. Nazis don't cackle, but
I mean, I get your point.
I was just saying, basically, like, this guy lost credibility. Like, everything was sounding good and okay, he doesn't like him and everything else, but the moment he throws out Nazism, it's like, all right, you're an extremist with your political views and you're too far gone.
Extremists on both sides, it's a problem.
That's a problem, right?
It's a real problem.
And so somebody liked my comment, and then here comes two people that you get the whole classic Nazism didn't start by killing millions of people. It started by what's happening right now. And it's like, okay, you mean like disarming the public and controlling the media? Because what side of the politics wants to do that?
Yeah.
That's not the current administration.
Yeah.
Right. So, but then this other guy got on there and so I replied to her a couple of times, and she's one of those people that I guarantee you 8 years ago was a mega fan of Elon Musk.
Oh, yeah.
And now she hates him because he...
Because they disagree.
No, because he likes Trump.
Yeah, because they disagree.
Yeah, Elon Musk has changed nothing about himself. He is still the leader he's always been. He's still the innovator he's always been. But now that he's aligned with Trump, people hate him for the exact same things they loved him for. 8 years ago, he's an awesome man that's provided millions of jobs for Americans. Today, he's earned all of his money off the backs of Americans.
He's the same.
It's the same thing.
Person,
right? You're just twisting it with language to
get it to fit your narrative.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so she was trying to say that Elon Musk now has access to all this government money and all this, and I'm like, you're way lost.
No, he
like,
doesn't. He just is tracking where it's going.
Yeah. And if you're really concerned about politicians having access to money, go look at Nancy Pelosi, because the idea that you go into government worth $100,000 or $200,000 and your net worth is less than $1 million
and then come out,
and then you
worth
come
30.
Out being worth 30 or 40 million in 4 years.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Right. Yeah. And this whole insider trading thing that politicians are allowed to do is a problem.
Yeah.
And so
term limits and get rid of that.
Term limits
and things they need to do.
Term limits and you can have zero money in the stock. It's no different than like athletics. You can't have baseball players betting on baseball.
Yeah.
You can't have football players betting on football.
Yeah. Same thing.
So why do you have politicians in the stock market and then
they're betting on stocks that then they create policies around?
Right.
Yes. We will allow that company to do this by passing this policy.
Yeah. And the most basic form of this, I'm sure a lot of you know this, but if you don't, the most basic form of this is all the politicians dumped a whole bunch of money in Zoom the day before they announced the COVID lockdowns and the stay-at-home orders.
Yeah.
Because they knew everyone was going to have to work virtually.
Yeah.
And what happened to Zoom stock? It skyrocketed, and all those politicians got rich.
Yeah, and then all those politicians sold those stocks off to the rest of you out there.
Yeah.
And so they took all your money.
Yeah.
I mean,
And so if you don't think politicians have a financial motive to make the decisions they are, they're right there as the most clear example of,
yeah,
let's lock the nation down, but hold on, let me get my stock order in first.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they're pushing for more lockdowns because their stock's pumping up. So is the lockdown because of safety, or is the lockdown because
we all know
of
the
financial
truth.
Motive?
The truth is it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Right? There's right. never one direct answer. It's always a little bit of this, yeah. a little bit of that.
But if you remove the ability for the if you freeze all stocks for politicians, and the moment you go into office, they're frozen. You can't touch them. You can't do anything. We're not saying you have to cash in your retirement. You lock it.
I think
you come out of the office, you can get back in it.
It should be like a quote unquote 401k that you cannot have access to. Whatever you're in at the time stays in there and is allowed to grow, but you can't pull out and you can't add money in one specific sector or the other. Whatever you have it locked into, that's where it stays.
It's frozen. That's where it is. Or it goes,
I mean, you wouldn't get rid of all of it, but you'd get rid of the majority of it.
Or it just gets all lumped, like it gets converted into the overall S&P. And then now your portfolio is based on the S&P performance as a whole, not individual pieces.
Yeah.
And so if you really want your portfolio to grow, do good for the country, the S&P will grow, and that's your growth.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I wish it was that way. The problem is I'm very negative, and I know they're going to be like, well, my husband, and then my uncle, and then, you know, all, but it at least slows some of it down.
Right. It's a step in the right direction. Yeah. And refusing to do that means you're just allowing the problem, right?
Yeah, which we are, because we can't, as individuals in the country, can't vote on them. Not like it has to go through Congress.
Right.
And it will hurt members of Congress. So they're not going to vote for it, just like they won't vote for term limits.
So
it's freaking horse shit.
Have you been following the Elon Musk stuff?
No, I have not. So when we got back, I have done nothing but work.
So
get caught up. I've paid attention to nothing.
Elon Musk and Trump are starting to expose all of the wrongful spending in the government.
I did see the condos. Was it Israel? The $56 million he stopped from building condos in Gaza?
Nope.
Where was it?
It's condoms. We were going to send $50 million overseas to buy condoms.
For who?
And here's the thing.
Why?
This is the problem with the media and fact-checking. Trump and Musk stop $50 million from going overseas to buy condoms. And what do they do with these condoms? Well, for one, they use them for their intended purpose. But another thing that they do with them is they fill them with helium and fly bombs across the air.
Oh, shit.
Okay? So we were going to give...
Where is this going? Do you remember?
Lebanon?
Lebanon? Maybe? Okay.
I don't quote me on that, but it's somewhere in the Middle East.
Well, damn it.
I wonder if it's here in my...
That's crazy.
In my notes.
Dude, do you know how many condoms you can buy for $50 million?
Right. So anyway...
If they were using them for the intended use, why? Why would they be sending them?
This was the big government's way of embezzling tons of money. So,
it's Ukraine again.
Right. So, anyway, we stopped it from ever happening.
Good.
Now,
good.
Here's all the news and all the media and all the fact checkers. They come out and say, there's no indication that the U.S. has ever spent $50 million on condoms for that country.
Yeah, because they stopped it.
Because they stopped it.
Yeah.
And it's like, fact check says this is false. This didn't happen. We never sent $50 million over there. Right. Because we stopped it. But they structure the language in a way to say the truth while confusing you into thinking it's a false story. It's a dead accurate story, right? So here's everything that they've done so far.
I hope that people are finally starting to see the truth.
Yeah.
That's my hope.
So here's all the US aid that's gone to places that went nowhere.
Okay.
Post-2010 earthquake in Haiti, we sent $1.14 billion to be spent on a port and a power plant prompted by Bill Clinton. The project never went anywhere. The money was gone.
Where'd the money go?
Project's gone. Never happened.
Where'd the money go?
Nobody knows.
Oh, of course not.
Cuba. In 2006, a 2006 audit showed $74 million in democracy promotion funds vanished without oversight. $74 million gone
we're
to promote democracy in Cuba.
We're going to go to Cuba. We're going to spend this money so they can elect their own people.
Yeah.
None of that happened. Money's gone.
In Afghanistan, we've spent millions on health scams and hospitals that were never built. In Nigeria, that one doesn't even have a dollar amount to it, so I'm not even going to say that one. COVID-19 funding. The USAID sent over $40 million of taxpayer money to a scientist located in Wuhan for gain-of-function mutations that directly led to the release of COVID-19. So in other words, the USAID paid for COVID-19 to be created, and then it was released.
Yeah.
And these are facts. $2.5 million for DEI in Siberia. We spent $70,000 we sent that over to Ireland so that they could do a DEI musical.
Stop. We put on a DEI musical at one of our military bases in Ireland?
I don't know if the musical was ever happened, but $70,000 went there for a DEI musical. $47,000 on transgender operas in Colombia.
This that's a good idea.
U.S. money.
That's a good way. That, you know what? All those people in North Carolina that got $750, they could have used that money.
Yeah, they probably really appreciate it.
47 families could have got $1,000.
$32,000 was spent on a trans comic book to be published in Peru.
Government money?
Yeah. $20 million for an Iraq version of Sesame Street to promote the LGBTQ agenda. Egypt into Tunisia.
Is it T-U-S?
T-U-N-I-S-I-A. Tunisia? I don't know.
I can't do it.
They got $56 million for, quote, tourism. Whatever that means.
To grow tourism?
I don't know.
This is
Jordan got $40 million for, quote, schools. Vietnam got $11 million to fight trash burning.
I want to talk about the school thing.
I got two more.
Okay.
Central America got $27 million for deportee gift bags. And
what
Trump lawfare, $27 million to fund the left-wing prosecutions and populist political opponents around the globe, including Donald Trump. So they spent $27 million of our taxpayer dollars to try to persecute your current president.
I don't understand what people are thinking.
Yeah.
The school thing drives me even more crazy. Like, you will hear people say things like, oh, we have to give money to these, you know, what are you doing? We have to give money to these countries so that they aren't third world countries. I get that, right? I would even argue with, yeah, let's do that. Let's pay for these kids to have education in schools. The problem is, we can't fucking educate our kids here.
Right.
We have some of the worst school systems in the world.
Yeah.
We can't do it here. Don't piss money away.
Yeah.
Until we can at least get our own ducks in order.
Yeah.
Please? Is that too much to ask?
The reason we're talking about this, because this isn't too much of a political show, but the reason we're talking about this is because this is all, like 30% of your income goes to this.
Yeah.
And it's our job to help guide the politicians and help make sure that our money, taxation without representation is theft, right? And so if they're taking our tax dollars and willy-nilly sending it overseas and losing part of it and then spending it on things that we don't agree with, that's not representing the U.S. That is theft.
It's not representing the U.S. individual.
Right.
That's paying for it.
And so, you know, a lot of speculation is going on about all these tariffs and everything else. And
We know how that's going to work.
We know how it's going to work. So don't believe the hype when you think tariffs are going to jack up the price of things. Rheem manufacturers sent out a letter to all their vendors.
Aren't they made in Mexico?
Yeah. They sent out a letter to all of their vendors saying, because of the announcement of the tariffs, all products increase in price by 16% immediately. Now, keep in mind, Rheem just had a price hike 35 days ago. Rheem just increased their prices on the first of the year. And 35 days later, they increased them by 16%. before ever realizing what's going to happen with the tariffs, simply because they were announced.
Yeah, and they've already been negotiated.
Yeah.
Back.
And
it was a scare tactic. Everyone knows that.
Yep.
You know how you know who's running big corporations? When they try to scare you immediately.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And on a whole nother note, Reams probably run by liberals.
Yeah, probably. Like you don't know, but probably.
But probably.
Yeah.
But what bothers me the most is, why aren't you manufacturing those here in America?
Right.
Like, why aren't you giving Americans those jobs?
Right.
And don't give me the, well, they don't want them and it costs too much money.
Yeah.
If all our manufacturing was here and all of our energy production was here, everything would be cheaper.
You know who didn't send out a letter?
Who?
State and A.O. Smith, manufacturer in Nashville, Tennessee.
Boom, baby.
Right. Now, they do have other overseas manufacturing, but State and A.O. Smith, because they do have American manufacturing facilities, they have to do is just divert. Okay.
Yeah, we won't add a third shift there. Yeah,
and we're going to crank more here, right? So
yeah, the problem is we've been pushing this stuff out of the country for so long. Like, eventually, we were going to have to pay the piper.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
if I have to pay more for jobs to come back to this country and us build engineering and industrial and all of that stuff back up to where it was before, yep. I'm okay with that.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Remember when eggs used to cost $1.50 a carton for a dozen?
Hey, I have my own chickens and they cost me $6.
Right. Yeah.
It costs me more, to have my own chicken eggs.
Right. But like, eggs used to be $1.50 a carton.
Yeah.
And then it goes up to $4.50 a carton in 2023. 2022.
Was that first bird flu scare?
Yeah, late 22, early 23.
All the birds are dying.
That administration ordered the mass slaughter of millions of chickens and created a shortage.
Yeah. And by the way, almost none of those chickens had bird flu.
Right. And the price of eggs went to over $4 a carton. Okay. So yeah. That means it quadrupled, tripled at least.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's $4.
Right. But now.
I got $4.
Now eggs drop down to the low twos, and then here comes the bird flu again, and right on his way out, the previous administration orders the mass slaughter of more chickens again, forcing a shortage, and then by the time that shortage is realized on the market, Trump's now in office, and everyone's blaming Trump for the price of eggs.
I know.
It's like, hold on, eggs are under $3 a carton still. So, like...
I know, man.
Like, they went from, like, $2.30... to $2.90 a carton. But under Biden, we were paying $4.50 a carton and
no one said shit.
And no one said shit. And now you're acting like Trump can't keep the price of eggs down? Like, yeah. Come on.
I was afraid this was going to happen, and I think it is happening. You know, when Biden was in office, cancel culture kind of took a downturn,
mm-hmm.
right? And now it seems like it's coming back hardcore.
Don't try.
And this is kind of what we were... about you with the Nazism thing.
Yeah.
So my sister-in-law, I don't know if I've told you this or not. I think I might have mentioned it in my Monday motivational. She owns a hair salon. Mm-hmm. Okay. She's really good at it. Successful. She has like 4 or 5 girls that work in there. They booth rent. It's great. Right. I go there. I get my haircut all the time. Her husband is super right.
Yeah.
Like hardcore right. Has been posting about Trump over and over. That's all he posts.
Yeah.
For 8 years, 10 years. I mean, nothing's changed. Now, all of a sudden, Trump's in office. She had 3 girls say, I don't want you to cut my hair anymore because what your husband posts.
Yeah.
She's like, well, he's been doing that forever. And so it's like, instead of it being cancel culture, it's like, well, we don't agree with each other.
Yep.
So I'm going to hurt you in a personal way.
Yeah.
Now, if any Republicans do that, if anyone that's right does that, you're hung out to dry just like you were on Facebook. You know what I mean? Because you disagree.
Yep.
And so they're taking that cancel culture and they're just trying to like hurt individuals on an individual and family-based level.
Yeah.
It's just, it's crazy to me.
Yeah.
That people are that petty.
Yep.
You know, they say all the time, And I see it on CNN and 60 Minutes and The View and all these shows. They're like, well, we have to come together. We have to come together.
Yep.
By come together, do you mean if you want us to just agree with you and do exactly what you say? Is that what you mean by come together?
What they mean is come together, come over to our side and be like us. Yeah. They don't mean meet in the middle.
Yeah.
They mean...
And I've actually been kind of thinking about it because it's been on my mind. I don't want to meet them in the middle that much either.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I wanted to.
And we don't want that.
No, we don't. But I wanted that 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I really did. I was like, okay, let's see. Because to be honest, my bandwidth for everything is just, like, I was tired of it. I was tired of dealing with it. It's like, I can concede on some things. We'll come together. Well, they didn't want to do it then either.
Yeah.
And now they don't want to do it. And now I've realized, like, I've come to my senses. They're not going to ever want to come in the middle. Fuck them.
Yep.
Like, I've got to stick to my principles or else I'm lying to myself.
Yep.
And it's just, I mean, that's no way to live either.
Yeah. And so that's all of this was started. So I made that comment saying, don't call anybody a Nazi. Right.
Yeah.
And all these two people, this lady's name is Susan Yerkes and this other guy's name is Mark Minden. Susan Yerkes says Elon Musk just gained access to the U.S. Treasury payment mechanism. The stock market will be crashing and Musk will be taking our tax money directly. This is Nazism.
That's a bold-faced lie.
Exactly.
Sue her for slander?
I don't know. Maybe.
I wish he would.
But that is absolutely not going to happen, right?
No.
And then, I replied to her and I just said, I believe you've been misinformed on what money Elon Musk has direct access to for personal gain. Well, then this Mark Minden guy gets on there and he tags me in it and he says, Mitch Smedley, thanks for letting us know that Smedley Plumbing supports Nazis. We can now spread the word about this horrible company. And he tags my business in his post,
cancel
puts our
culture.
Website, right?
Cancel culture for no reason.
And so I replied to Mark in the comment immediately, and I said, Mark, please don't ever call us. If you're so misguided with your thoughts that you think by me saying none of this is Nazism, that somehow means I support Nazis, then we absolutely don't want you as a customer.
Yeah, right? That's the truth.
And so then, about 10, 20 minutes later, I get a notification from Google that Mr. Mark Minden left me a 1-star Google review. And obviously...
Which you could have fought if you needed to.
Right, right. Yeah. I could have.
Not
and
a
so,
customer.
So I replied to his review, and I said, this is in direct retaliation to a Facebook comment where you were, like, I was standing up and saying that nobody in our administration is a Nazi, and you're trying to say that by me saying nobody's a Nazi, somehow I'm supporting Nazis. And then Mr. Mark Minden modified his review to add screenshots of the post, which was perfect.
Yeah,
because
you got him by the stones.
Right. So if you don't know this, like if somebody gives you a 1-star review and no words, it's very difficult to get that review down because Google doesn't have enough information to say it's a false review.
Yeah.
But the moment they curse or the moment they call out an individual employee or the moment they share pictures that show any kind of hate speech, Google will take it down immediately. He added those pictures where he's claiming me is supporting Nazism, and Google took it down right away.
Yeah.
And either Google took it down or he took it down.
I bet Google took it down.
Well, no, because when Google takes it down, they send you an email.
Oh, no
email?
I
never got the email.
Oh, then he must have.
But then later on, I go back, and sure enough, and so I sent him some messages, and I just said, hey, if you're smart, you're going to remove all of that because, like, that is literally the definition of slander.
Yeah.
And my legal counsel is chomping at the bit to go after you.
Yeah.
And then, so I sent him that message on the Facebook comment. And then when I got the Google review, I sent him another message. And I said, you're just digging the hole deeper. And now we have two rounds, like two separate cases of slander. And again, my legal counsel is chomping at the bit to have a field day with you. And then, of course, later on, he did pull that comment down. And I've noticed now I can't find him on Facebook, which means he deleted all of his shit and then he blocked me in hopes that I won't be able to find him and sic counsel on him. So obviously I've already got the screenshots and everything else, but that's kind of what we're talking about like it's okay. A lot of people say business owners need to avoid politics and all of this stuff. I disagree with that a little bit. I'm not saying business owners need to get into politics. But what I'm saying is people want to do business with people that have firm values and that will stand up for what they believe in. They don't even have to agree with it.
Yeah.
The people that aren't going to shop with you because they disagree with who you support, you don't want them as customers anyway. Those three people at the hair salon that are quitting your sister-in-law. Yeah. You don't want them as customers. That's a loose cannon that's a lit fuse.
I was sitting on my couch and my mother-in-law was there and Janine was there and they were talking about it.
Yeah.
And my in-laws are very religious.
Yep.
But they know who I am, right? Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And I looked at Nancy and I said, you know what? Fuck them.
Yeah.
I said, she don't want to deal with those people anyway.
Yep.
I said, screw them.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's weird to me, I shouldn't say weird. What drives me insane is Biden got in. Republicans weren't doing this stuff to Democrats.
No, it's not in the Republican nature to do that. They're volatile.
We're trying to live our lives and be productive and be you know, good citizens and things like that because, you know, we're what make the world go round, it seems like.
Yeah.
Like, stop.
Yeah.
We're not even a month in.
You go,
and people are already going nuts over nothing.
You go to any
They're unstable is what they are. They're freaking mentally unstable.
You go to any American terrorist attack, not a terrorist attack from a foreign terrorist, but Americans. And when I say terrorists, I mean like an assassination attempt, a school shooting.
Let's do that.
An actual, like the Oklahoma City bombing, all of those things. And you go look down the political lineage of all of those people.
Uh-oh.
And they all identify to one side. And it's not the Republican side.
Rarified air here.
Right.
Yeah.
So what I'm not saying that they're responsible, like that party is responsible for it. What I'm saying is that's just a quirk of that party is they're extremely eccentric in their actions and in their thoughts.
Yeah.
They're way out there.
They're extremely emotionally unstable, it seems like.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
There's a difference between being emotional and being emotionally unstable where you let your emotions take over and control your actions. And
you can't control your actions.
Did you
right?
hear, I think, I can't remember what his name is, the congressman that said, we have to fight these Trump actions in the streets if necessary.
Yeah. Yep.
Dude, talk about inciting violence.
Right.
Like that was one of the same guys that's like, oh, January 6th, Trump's got to be, he's got to be hung.
Yep.
He have treason.
Yep.
You're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Are they too dumb to realize the hypocrisy that runs their lives?
Well, the common thing on any of those extremes is whatever they're accusing the other party of is usually what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so if they're accusing Trump of inciting violence, that means they're inciting violence.
The guy literally incited violence.
Yeah.
Like on a social media post to everyone in America that believes what he believes.
Yep.
He said, go out in the streets and incite violence is what he said.
Yep. And so
how is that guy not like that's how
knows?
Is he not going to be prosecuted?
I mean, maybe he will. Like, let's hope.
I hope he is.
Here's the other part of it though is like you're going to see a lot of actions coming out and
a lot of peaceful protests. Probably.
And like it's okay. Like I made a post yesterday on Facebook that said a business owner should never be fearful of standing up for what they believe in. Let me quote it exactly because I don't want to mess it up.
Go ahead. Take your time.
No, it's just right here. Business owners should never feel like they can't have an opinion or a voice. You either stand for something or you stand for nothing. Don't let your customers decide what you should stand for, right? And so that post was about those Nazism comments and everything else. I'm not going to refuse to stand up for what I believe in. And what I honestly believe is that there's nobody in the U.S. government that's similar to Nazism, right?
Yeah.
No matter what side you're on. I'm not going to let a customer dangle I'm never going to use your business again. Like, bitch, you were never going to use my business. Let's be honest.
Bitch.
Like, but
hey, look, there's plenty of water heaters in the world to change out.
Yeah.
I
don't need
worry,
yours.
Girl.
Right.
I'll talk to you, or dude, whoever, whatever.
And so, like, don't be afraid to stand up for what you believe in. Now, that doesn't mean go be political on Facebook and all of that stuff, right? That doesn't mean as a business owner you need to be constantly doing political posts and everything else. But it's okay to speak your mind and stand for something.
Yeah. I will say stuff once in a while,
mm-hmm.
very rarely, because I just don't. How do I say this? I don't want to have to fucking deal with the idiots.
Yeah.
know what I mean? But once in a while I will. And when I post, usually it's in the comments.
Yep.
Like when I reply to someone's comment, it's very well thought out. It's long. It's articulate. It makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
And I don't get drug. I get drug on Spotify, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, that's just trolls.
Different. For my beliefs and my views, because I back it up with facts and things like that. I don't get into a lot of pissing matches.
Yeah.
Because I just, to be honest, I don't want to.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information in a one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
Well, so like what you're referring to on the Spotify thing, and again, this is extremist views. We had a comment on Spotify about the co-host is
that's me,
misogynistic
by the way.
Because he refers to man hours and the men in the field. And it's like, well, hold on. 90, like I looked it up, only 1% of the trades-based workforce is female.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you, if you're generalizing the trades-based industry, why wouldn't you say the guys in the field?
Yeah.
Right?
They act like it's like I'm insulting them. I know some women that work in construction.
Yeah.
Jamie Hauser. She's a badass.
Yeah.
I would go to bat for her anytime.
Right.
It's not that I don't think women can do it. It's that every place I've ever worked, there just aren't a lot of women.
Yeah.
That's all. It's just, they're just not there. I mean,
one of the best plumbers I've ever had the privilege of managing was a female, and she was lesbian. Best plumber I've ever had. Like, it was awesome, right? It's not like there's this thing of like keeping women out of the trades.
No.
It's
they're not applying. What do you want us to do?
What do we want to do, right?
Yeah. This is the healthcare talk too. Like, I can't be in healthcare because I'm not a loving, caring person.
Yeah.
Women are better at that than men.
Yeah.
That's just a fact.
It's a genetic makeup.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just better.
Yeah.
And that is
men don't nest, women do.
And that's that's a strength of theirs.
Yeah.
That's not a stab. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
Take it for what it is, not what you think it is.
Right. Another big topic that we're kind of evolving into here that's a hot button issue right now is like the DEI thing. And this applies to this podcast because DEI is about the workforce and everything else. But you're seeing a lot of false narratives right now because Trump's shutting down DEI. And so now they're changing language of what is DEI. Diversity, equity, and inclusion is the current term of DEI. It used to be called diversity, equality, and inclusion. But equality, equality means equal input, equal effort, equal opportunity. Equity means equal outcome regardless of input, effort, or opportunity. And so they changed it. They slid it in there. They didn't announce this change, but they just, we're going to call it equity instead of equality because if I give you the access to a four-year school and I get access to a four-year school, but you have, you know, you squandered it away and didn't learn, equality, that's equality.
Yeah.
Equity says we both have that access. You squandered it away and didn't learn, but it doesn't matter. We're still going to both get qualified for the job.
Yeah.
That's equity.
Which is horseshit.
Which is absolute horseshit.
This country was built to be a supreme power because of the merit of the individuals putting in the work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You worked hard, you got the job.
It's looking like that plane that hit the helicopter and crashed into the Potomac may have been an issue of DEI.
Oh, God. Issue of DEI or just someone fucked up?
No. So they've already uncovered.
Careful. Here.
No. This is fact.
Okay.
During COVID, air traffic controllers were shut down. They shut down all hiring of new air traffic controllers. Now, how is a liquor store considered essential, but air traffic controllers aren't?
And money.
And they didn't hire for 2 years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Dave's going to learn something on the show today.
And then once they started hiring, they had programs in place, government-funded programs in place to hire air traffic controllers with learning disabilities, with vision impairment, with hearing loss, and all of these other things that you need to be an air traffic controller, right?
Millions and billions of dollars are on the line, and people's
and
lives
right.
are on the line. And we're going
to
let...
And we're going to try to say you need to hire a blind guy to do air traffic control.
A blind guy that has a learning disability.
Right.
The
right.
learning disability hurts me the most because those people have to be able to take on high stress and multitask like no one else.
Yeah. Yeah.
What... I mean, what are we doing?
Right. And so they did all of that. And so now, like, we don't know if the air traffic controllers that were in charge of this thing were DEI hires or not. We don't know that.
No.
But what we do know is all of that was going on. And then you have this very obvious mega fuck up, right? Like, how those two planes, I mean, a plane and a hel- like, if it's different if it's two planes. But a plane and a helicopter has very clear view. The helicopter was under the plane was descending to the helicopter's level. Like, they absolutely should have seen it.
Well, they I did hear one thing from the black box they got, that the air traffic controller was asking them, do you see the plane? Mm-hmm. And he clearly says, yes, we see the plane. He's looking at the wrong damn plane.
Yeah, right.
So was it him? Was it the air traffic controller telling him to look north instead of south?
We don't know.
I don't know.
But what we do know is, yes, people with disabilities need jobs. But if you're blind, you can't do a job that requires sight, right?
Yeah.
Show me a one-legged guy in the NFL.
None yet.
Not any yet. Why? It's not a DEI thing. It's because they can't physically do the job.
Yeah, it's
now,
performance
does that mean,
based.
Yeah, does that mean one-legged guys are useless? No, they just don't play well in the NFL, right?
Yeah, well, you know what? A great DEI comparison would be like, hey, Dave, we need more short white guys in the NBA. We're going to get you get in there and you play.
Yeah.
Dude, I can't jump.
Show me how many 40-year-olds are in the NFL.
Run.
Show me how many 40-year-olds are in the NFL.
Not many.
Oh, wait, why? Because it's performance-based, right?
Yeah. So, everything should be performance-based.
Yeah. So Facebook, back when I was trying to hire plumbers, I was trying to put like a, hey, we're hiring thing on our business page, and Facebook wouldn't allow me to do it. They wanted me to like curtail the wording.
They wanted
wording.
You to DEI it.
No, this was like EEOC stuff, equal opportunity.
Same, it's the same shit.
And so I was trying to boost a post for we're hiring. Well, the moment I can make the post, but the moment I try to boost it.
Oh, they start reading it.
Well, like I get to, when you boost a post, I get to control who sees it. Like men, women, age groups, locations, zip codes, everything. They would not let me boost it to only men above 21 years of age.
What are you going to do? Hire a 13-year-old kid?
Right. And I'm like, okay, men and women. Nope. You can't have an age limit on it. I'm like, I can't fucking insure anybody under 20. I physically can't hire anybody under 21.
Yeah. It's again, my insurance will not insure anyone under 21.
And then it wouldn't let me put a mileage radius on it. You can't control where they come from. Well, I'm not going to hire somebody that lives 170 miles away. Right?
I love the age thing. Okay, yeah, he's 75.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that guy drag out of water. I mean, there are guys that can do it.
Hey, Walter.
Yeah, but it's like...
Put your cane down for a minute.
Like, what are you going to do, man?
Right.
You can't, like, stop.
Right.
You can't put in 4 water heaters a day. You'd be exhausted.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
come on.
Yeah, you have all of that stuff, and it's okay to speak up on all of those things as long as you're not hurting anybody, as long as you're not name-calling, and as long as you're putting a stop to it.
Unless
right?
you're a Democrat.
Well,
and then you can fun of and drag everyone through the mud.
You notice on like those comments that we were just talking about, I didn't call anybody names. I just said, hey, I don't think anybody in the U.S. administration, no matter what side you're on, is a Nazi.
Yeah.
Like, I stop listening to you when you say that. You lose credibility
when
you say that.
You said either side.
Yeah.
When you say either side, it's like, how much more do you need?
Well, and again, you can... A lot of people have a hard time calling something out without calling a name. Hey, idiot, that's not this. Like, you can't do that. That's not constructive.
No.
But
that's
I
do. That's why I'm not on there.
Yeah, I was very constructive with it, and I still got crushed or attempted to be crushed. But,
yeah.
I mean, hell, I screenshotted the whole thing and shared it. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I saw it. I laughed out loud. And I showed Janine. She's like, I mean, he gets into more shit.
Yeah.
I was like, he's just a magnet.
Yeah.
He's just a magnet.
This is part of it.
Yeah.
So... On a similar, possibly DEI-related topic.
Possibly DEI. We don't know.
But I finally managed to obtain the 911 recording of when my wife's Jeep was stolen. And I saw it.
You drunk?
And I called the cops to say, like, hey, I found it. Come do something, right?
Yeah.
And remember, in the previous thing, I called the cops, and they refused to do anything unless I gave them the case number. And for one, I was on hold for like 3 or 5 minutes before they even picked up. And then
we're not going to play the silence.
Well, it doesn't. It didn't. The recording picks up as soon as she picked up the phone,
yeah.
And then the recording stops. She actually hangs up on me. I wish it was on there. A whole tirade at the end where I like lost my temper and I just start going off on her, and it's not even in the recording.
Do you want to record it after the show and then I'll just copy
add it in?
I'll just add it in.
I don't want to edit it, but we're going
to. It'll be a fun version. You know, you and I have been talking about this for 2 months about keeping the show shorter.
Yeah.
We're at 48 minutes. We still got another 50 minutes to go.
Yeah, maybe. So we're going to play. So let me preface you with this.
Hey, did you get the slider where it's supposed to? Yes, I do.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to preface you with this. Before I obtained the recording, because the recording took several weeks to get, it's a very slow process. It's a digital recording. I have no clue why it takes this long. I was only allowed to get the recording out. What was the acronym we talked about before? The
What are you talking about?
Oh, my mind just went blank.
The Transparency Act?
Yeah, but Freedom of Information Act, FOIA.
Yeah.
So I didn't even have to go through a FOIA thing to get the recording because I called to request the recording from the same phone number that called 911. It's my recording, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you wanted to get it, you'd have to go through FOIA.
Yeah.
But
I haven't listened to all of it. So I listened to parts of it to clean it up.
Yeah.
I mean, I did pretty good, but why is their recording shit so bad?
Let's go this route.
It's so bad.
I have to pay $16 to get it.
I meant to bring your disc back.
Then they give it to me. I have to pick it up in person, and it's on a fucking CD.
Dude, first off,
like, email that. Like, I know it was a digital file that you had to burn onto a CD to give to me.
Yeah.
Why don't you just email it to me?
Or, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't get it. Like, I had to rip it off of a laptop that's 25 years old.
Yeah, you have to go find a CD player.
I had to go
to my kids' rooms and find an old boombox to play it. And
your kids aren't old enough for a boombox with a CD player, are they?
Yeah. Well, we got them one.
Maybe it was Danielle's from a long time ago.
Probably.
Yeah. She's in the corner. She's in the corner shaking. That's not mine.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Dave. That's not mine.
I mean,
maybe we should get her
props to the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department for not giving it to me on a cassette tape or an 8-track tape. Thank you for getting up into the late 80s with your technology. And
late
you'll
80s.
See that this recording is still grainy. We're going to play it in a minute. But while I was waiting on the recording, Kansas City, Missouri Police Department sends me a letter. And the letter is, I'm not going to read it word for word, but essentially it says that we noticed you reported property stolen. Can you do us a favor and tell us if that's still stolen?
Wow.
Have you found it yet?
Yeah, I just found it on the side of the road.
Yeah.
I'm trying to commit insurance fraud.
Right.
What are you talking about?
And it's like, wait, what's the purpose of reporting it stolen? Like, you report it stolen, it should go into a national registry that it's a stolen vehicle. If it's found, shouldn't the national registry be updated? Like, oh my gosh,
the
right?
The government is so bad,
yeah,
and disorganized, so and wasteful. It's just
I'm holding the letter.
Did
right
you call
now.
Them?
No,
you send
I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna do their fucking job for them. And this letter tries to act like I'm legally required to fill it out and turn it back in.
No, you're not.
And then I was talking to somebody about this letter, and he says I'm gonna get one every 6 months, and you're legally required to fill it back in until it's recovered. I'm like, fuck you.
Oh my god.
I'm not doing your job. Like, I've already done more of your job. I found the car twice now. My neighbor found it like 3 or 4 days before
Which
we went
one?
Skiing. Jared?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He calls me up, and he was like,
Jared,
Danielle's old car is sitting at this gas station. You want to come get it? And I'm like, fuck yeah.
You should have told
him.
So
I'm strapping up with guns to go get it, and he calls me back, and he was like, they just burned out of here.
No, you tell him, hey, dude, go over there and punch a hole in one of them tires.
I wish. They never got out of it.
Oh.
So it's too risky.
No, it's not.
I'd
have done it. I'd have walked over there and just been all nonchalant.
Yeah. In compliance with regulations, it is necessary that we keep our records updated. In order to do so, we're asking that you please provide us with the following information. Is the property in reference to this police case number still actively stolen or missing? Is it recovered? Has it been repossessed? Is it an insurance claim? And if so, who is your insurance company? What's their address? And did they pay you for it?
Does the insurance company not give a shit? Are they not calling the police saying, hey, we're trying to get this car back to at least save some of our money?
So where this might go here in a second after we listen to this recording and bash this lady a little bit.
Bashing you a little bit, too.
So
I don't know. I haven't heard it all.
I don't know if the insurance company cares that nobody finds stolen cars, because the insurance company, it's a win-win situation.
If they find it and can resell it for 10 grand, they want that 10 grand.
You're right, they do. But if they don't find it, that gives them opportunity to raise all rates in Kansas City because car thefts are up. Well, and so now they make money anyway.
If they sell it for 10, they're raising the rates the same anyway.
Probably.
So
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they want the 10.
We'll get into, and maybe it's not even on this show, I have two very good ideas for how to solve this problem for all of America.
I love you. It ain't going to work. Your opinion about it's not going to happen?
It's a tall ask, but it's not an unrealistic ask. It's a very practical ask.
When we're 50, both of us are running for Congress.
Maybe.
I'm moving to another county.
Maybe.
You're going to stay in this one or move. We're going to try to get two county seats.
Yeah. So
in the Missouri department.
So I'm going to play this, and I'm going to preface it here a little bit. The recording quality is not all that great.
It's not that bad.
And okay. Just a reminder, I'm actively chasing my own stolen car while all this is going on, okay?
Okay.
The moment she picks up the phone, I find the car. I find it once. They get away from me because that car's faster than my Lightning. They get away from me. I'm already on the phone with 911 after they get away from me.
Yeah.
I end up finding the car, and I'm head-on with it. And so I don't like being head on with it because I can't tell if anybody's in it or not. And I don't want to be like in their direct line of sight. Right. So I'm going to drive down the street. I'm going to pass it, drive down the street, turn around and get behind it. Right. And so as I'm passing the car and driving down the street to turn around, the streets are lined with cars on both sides. There's only room for one car to go down. And I had to go down a block and a half before I had room to turn around. She picks up the phone as I'm a block and a half away from where I just saw it and turning around. And the moment she picks up the phone, she asks for the location. And that's when two guys run out of the house and get in the Jeep. And then I take my eyes off of them and I look up at a street sign to give her the intersection of where I'm at. And the guys took off and turned and I didn't know which way they went. Okay.
Guys or gals, let's be DEI appropriate.
No, they were dudes.
Okay, you could tell they were dudes.
I don't know their race because they were a block and a half away, but they were running across the street
Maybe
pulling
they
up
were
their pants.
Chicks with short hair and no boobies.
They were very scrawny chicks if they were chicks. And they run like dudes.
Dude, meth is everywhere.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a hell of a drug.
So we're gonna play this and we test it. We've never tried to do this before. Okay, we're gonna test it right now and see what happens.
All right, let me hear it.
I need police immediately.
What's the location of police?
I am trying to find that for you right now. I had my car stolen in Kansas City.
So it's kind of hard to hear her at first. She asked what the location is.
Yeah,
and I'm in the middle of turning around, and I'm trying to find that location.
Yeah, I can hear
Okay.
In Missouri a week and a half ago, and ironically, it just drove by me down the highway.
So I just let her know that my car was stolen a week and a half ago, and it's driven by me on the highway.
We can hear it.
Okay.
And you made a report to the police. You didn't.
Oh, yeah.
You made a report. Yeah.
So we are 28th and Quincy is where I just saw it. They evaded me. They drove away. But it was in the area of 28th and Quincy.
Why do you sound like you're 50?
Do you have your case report number?
I don't have that on me. I can give you all my name and address and everything.
No, I would need the case report number that verifies that you made it before.
So, that's the second time she asked for the case report number. She asked for it earlier as I was giving her the street location, street cross streets, right?
Yeah.
And then she asked for it again, and then she said, I need to verify that you made the report correctly.
What, like, fucking difference does
that
make?
Let's not get the cops out there. Let's make sure that the paperwork we did a week and a half ago was done right. Right?
Yeah. Turn it up in my headphones a little bit.
Which one's that?
The gray one. This? The one, no, the one you were touching. No, no. The, there you go.
That?
Yeah. There you go. That's perfect.
Okay.
What kind of car are they?
It's a 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee SRT.
Stop the... Why... I love you. When there's, like, tension, you speak very... It direct. Is a 2020 Dodge Jeep Cherokee SRT.
My heart's racing because I just got done chasing these guys for a couple of minutes.
I know.
And this is through the Bluetooth in my truck going to their shitty 8-track recording that's been updated to CD.
First off, all of you dipshits that answer the phone through your stereo, stop. No one can hear what you're saying.
It's a state law now.
I don't
You're not allowed
to
have your phone in your hand behind the car. No.
I don't care. I do this.
Yeah.
Drive people that are, and I drive with my knee and I'm holding a beer in this hand.
It's illegal.
I don't care.
So
I don't care.
Okay.
Continue.
So she's chastising me saying I need the case report number. And then she asks what kind of car it is. And I tell her it's a 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee SRT. She never asks what color it is. They don't know what they're looking for.
That is interesting. I didn't catch that.
Yeah. Waiting.
It's just
the
What's
the license?
What's the license?
I heard it.
What's that?
Your license plate?
The license plate's been removed. It's a stolen car.
Yeah.
Right now, the current... I've got a video of the car. The current license plate on the car is a dealer tag. That's probably also stolen.
Just assuming.
Yeah.
How many people were in the car?
The windows are tinted too dark to tell.
One. What's a what damn difference does it make?
I just got into a small chase with them, and they, it's a very fast car. They were able to get away from me.
Which way were they going, north, south, east, or west?
North. That goes to a T, and I did not get around fast enough to see which direction they went after the T at 28th and Quincy.
Did you at any time think to say it was white? You said that earlier. I didn't catch it.
No. And
I wouldn't have either.
Right. Well, and I'm thinking, like, just get cops here and, like, look at all Jeeps, right? But also, I'm relying on they're the ones that are trained, calm, cool, collected. Like, they're the ones that are trained
supposed
to gather
this information. Supposed to be collecting the real information.
Right.
I will say this. You can tell, and I'm not bashing her, but you could tell she don't give a fuck.
Mm-mm.
She don't give two fucks.
Just wait.
She gives.
You can tell just how little she cares
gives
here in a second.
No fucks that your $60,000 car,
yeah,
is, I mean, stolen.
Yep.
You're upset.
She
you
cares
can tell
more.
You're upset, and that, like, you're trying to give her everything.
Yep.
And she, like, you can tell she just don't care.
She cares more about
the protocol that she thinks.
She cares more about me not having the case number than anything else. Right. So
I wouldn't say that yet. Go ahead.
So I told him it got up to 28th and Quincy, and I didn't see which way it went because it goes to a T intersection, and I don't know which way they went after that.
What are you doing over there?
This computer's being...
This is what happens when you run a ThinkPad from 1987.
It's just not... I gotta
keep... I'm surprised they don't have a fucking CD burner on it.
Yeah. Okay, so now we were...
155.
My name is Mitch Smedley.
Hold on.
My name is
Fast
Mitch.
Car, they were able to get away from me.
Okay, we got to listen to this again.
Which way were they going, north, south, east, or where?
North. That goes to a T, and I did not get around fast enough to see which direction they went after the T at 28th and Quincy.
Here's where it starts to get wild.
I'm still driving through the neighborhood to see if they're halfway close, but... It doesn't look like it.
And you can hear the...
What's your name, sir?
My name is Mitch Smedley.
How many times did you tell her, Mitch Smedley?
You hear my lightning accelerating, decelerating. So I give her my... I tell her my name.
I'm listening.
No, I'm not... I'm saying my phone number on there.
Oh. I can bleep that out.
It's still pausing. That's weird. I don't know why it's doing that.
Because you got a piece of shit.
234. Hold on. Coming back up to 234 here.
Okay, we can do a broadcast in regards to the car.
Okay, so she's doing her job.
Okay.
She's saying she's going to broadcast.
You need to port number around with you, sir.
She just chastised me.
Yo, you guys need to do your job. Like, you can look up my name and find the patient port number.
I cannot look up your information. I know what the policy is, so I don't need you to remind me how to do my job. My job requires that I ask for the case report number if you are reporting that you have seen or have had contact with or in regards to a
Here, let me give you the fucking case report number. Are you ready?
What is it?
It is KC2024. Let me start over. KC2408946 0. How sad is it that this is your goddamn theft system, and I have to tell you?
What's the number again, please? You're wasting time.
She tells me I'm wasting time.
No, you're wasting time. It is KC2408946 0.
I'll enter that with the call, sir, and they will do a broadcast for occupied stolen car. Okay.
Thank you for trying to get out of doing your job.
So
thank you for getting it.
So she hangs up on me.
She did the job, but she wasted a lot of time.
She wasted a whole lot of time.
A lot of fucking time.
And then she cops attitude with this whole, don't tell me how to do my job. I know how to do my job and everything else, right? Here's the thing.
When I edit some of this together, I will edit the guy from the KCPD.
Yeah,
Fox 4 interviewed, and he says, no, you do not have to have your case number.
Yeah.
All we need to know is where the car is.
Yeah, and we can deal with that later.
Yeah, we can deal with that later.
And obviously, no, because she's putting, she stopped the whole thing three times to ask for the case number. And then, like, I'm so frustrated, and I'm driving, and talking on the phone, and now trying to go through my phone to get the case report number. I fumbled the letters, and so I had to start over, and then I start over, and she doesn't even write it down, and then she asks for me again, and then she tries to tell me I'm wasting time, right? And meanwhile, they still don't know what the color of the car is or anything else.
They don't know the color, and they're sending you letters, and they still haven't found the car.
No. So here's the local news interviewed me about this thing, and it was a big to-do about the lack of care of the police, and they don't care to find it.
Well, and let me give you some context there. This has been a problem in KC for a long time.
A long time.
Like
it's a problem all over the nation.
Yeah, when you post that stuff, and we talked about this in the original episode, there's no incentive for them to go after them. They don't care. I shouldn't say they don't care. They do care, but they have no backing.
Yeah.
The police have no backing.
Yep.
You know, and this lady on the phone doesn't give a shit. Nope. She's just looking to go home and eat donuts.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know.
And so here's...
she, they, them. I don't know.
Oh, that's totally a chick.
I assume so, but you can't assume now.
Yeah. Oh, I can assume all I
want. She could be a DEI hire.
I mean, if you dress like a dude, I'm going to call you a dude. If you sound like a woman, I'm going to call you a woman. Like, it's just is what it is.
I check now.
Yeah, oh, you check.
Old school Crocodile Dundee, where he reaches up and... that's a Sheila. Yeah,
that's funny. But, yeah, so, you know, that's not a very good look. Like, hey, I've done your job for you. And I didn't, like, have to work to do the job. The car freaking drove by me. But here I've done your job for you, and I'm basically handing you a Grand Theft Auto case on a silver platter.
Yeah.
And you would rather jump over what you think your policy is. And then she cops all that sass. Don't try to tell me how to do my job. I know how to do my job, right? And it's like...
We find out later, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to have any of that shit.
And so I was on hold. The whole call, if I go back to my call records, the whole call was 7 minutes long. That recording is 4 minutes long, which means I was on hold
for
3 minutes.
That's a whole nother thing in our area.
Yep.
Like, people are getting shot, and the people calling 911 aren't picking up for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
The people are dying.
Yeah.
Because our 911 system sucks so bad.
Well, and this is a result of defunding the police and everything else, right?
Yeah, we don't have enough cops because no one wants to be cops anymore.
And Quentin Lucas doesn't even run the KCPD anymore. It's run by the state because he wasn't able to run it.
First off, I don't want to get onto the whole thing here, but fuck him.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Fuck him.
Right?
A piece of shit.
If you guys saw the roads in Kansas City, you would completely understand we have no money to pay the refs.
No.
Like...
But we have money for Lucas to fly to Washington, D.C. and be part of all these hobnob fucking parties and shit.
Of course.
Fuck him.
Right. So, like, I wanted to kind of circle back to this because we talked that we were going to do this later. But, like, this is possibly a DEI hire. I don't know. But
I wouldn't say. You know that I love to jump on people.
Right.
I wouldn't assume this is a DEI hire.
I don't know, but like...
But maybe she does have a learning disability.
Obviously, she is not the right person that needs... Like, you don't cop attitude with somebody that's trying to report somebody that's actively in the commission of a crime.
No.
You don't cop attitude with somebody when they don't have their police... Like, nobody told me when I filed that report number... Nobody told me you need to keep this on you at all times because if you ever call in, you're going to have to reference this.
They didn't tell you because you didn't have to.
Right.
We found that out later.
Yeah. And now the police chief or sergeant, he was a sergeant.
He was a sergeant. Yeah.
He says you don't need it. You tell them that you don't have it and they'll worry about that later. And here this lady was absolutely slowing the whole call down by that and then copping attitude about it.
I
guarantee you, it's the information day and age. I guarantee you they could go into their system and type my name or my phone number and it would automatically pull up. Here's all the criminal violations he's accused of. Here's all the police reports he's ever filed. Like, she asks for my phone number. Do you not have caller ID? Like,
caller ID? Because when you dial 911 and hang up, they call you back.
Right. So, like, why are you asking? Why are you wasting time asking for my phone number? You have my name and my phone number because I'm calling you. Is it back going again?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
I told you to tell a story.
So on the video feed.
I've never met someone that can talk so fucking much and then when asked to tell a story and kill time, goes blank.
Well, I didn't want to. We're going to line the video with the audio. I didn't want, like, it's going to get cropped out anyway. But,
nah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
So.
You won't even notice when I'm done with it.
Yeah. So essentially, like, she's trying to get out of her job and she's. Possibly a DEI hire. She definitely needs a whole lot more training, right? You don't take somebody that's calling in a high stress environment and try to get sass with them. You don't call somebody that's trying to report a found stolen automobile and find red tape to get tripped up over. You say, where are you at? Let's get a cop there right now.
Yeah.
Right? And keep in mind, there's a cop station 2 blocks away from here.
I forgot about that.
There's literally a police station 2 blocks away.
And the thing is, there are cops that are chomping at the bit that were probably in the station or close that were like, oh, yeah, I'd have taken that.
Yeah.
I see them all the time looking for something to do.
Yeah. So ultimately, we were going to save it for another episode, but we'll just keep going now. I have two solutions for this. The reason that auto thefts are a major problem.
Here we go. We've talked about this.
Not on the show, we haven't.
Yes, we have.
Have we?
Yeah. There's no
financial incentive for police departments to go after stolen vehicles.
We've talked about this. Now, we haven't talked about your solution.
Okay. Yeah. So there's no
Mr.
financial...
Mr. Smedley.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to call you Mr. Smedley.
There's no financial incentives for cops to go after stolen vehicles. It literally makes more financial sense for them to write you a speeding ticket than to recover a $60,000 vehicle. Because recovering a $60,000 vehicle is a whole lot of paperwork and no payday. And a speeding ticket is a little paperwork and $400, right?
Yeah.
So there's no financial incentive for them to do it. But also the legal system is against the citizens in this. If, like, Dave, right now, you're 5'9", curly hair.
I'm 5'11". God damn.
thought I'd slip that one through
there. I'm 5'11", and I weighed myself today. I was 170.
All right, so 5'11", 170.
Jesus, 5 shortened me
Mahomes
2 inches.
Mahomes haircut, right? Curly on top, shaved on the sides.
First off, I'm older than him. This
yeah,
is
you,
my
had it,
fucking
you had
look.
It before, but people listening, that's what it is, right?
Yeah, I had a kid tell me
and
that
you're wearing a gray
day,
hoodie,
and
right?
I told him fuck off.
So if I saw you steal my car.
Yeah.
And I called the cops and I said, hey, this guy, 5'11", you know, Mahomes haircut, shaved on the sides, curly on top, wearing a gray hoodie, just stole my car. And the cops found you, a guy with curly on top, shaved sides, gray hoodie, 5'11", 170 pounds.
Yeah.
3 blocks away in my car.
I found this,
right?
My cousin's car.
Yeah. That's all the cops need to hear. And you are not charged with grand theft auto. You are charged with being in possession of stolen property.
Yeah.
The burden of proof is on the state to prove that you stole the car. Okay, so that's problem number one with car thefts. That's why all these car thefts happen, is because unless a policeman saw you do it or you're on video doing it, they cannot charge you with the theft of the crime. They can only charge you with being in possession, which is a they'll arrest you, but you bond out right away and it's a misdemeanor. Okay.
Yeah. It should be a felony. In possession of stolen goods over X amount of dollars.
Maybe.
Maybe car. I don't know.
So another problem with this, so we got the financial incentive problem and we have the burden of proof problem, right? So I've got a solution for both of them. Let's start with the financial incentive piece.
Okay, give it to me.
You make a state law that says any stolen vehicle that had full coverage insurance on it, when it's recovered, the insurance company is to pay the department that recovers the vehicle 10% of the value of the vehicle.
Okay.
Okay. So now Kansas City, Missouri Police Department has a $6,000 incentive to go find my $60,000 Jeep.
Okay.
Okay.
Talk about insurance rates going up, but yeah, okay.
Done.
They're already up.
Right. But insurance company pays me 60 grand. Keep in mind, I've been paying them exorbitant premiums this whole time.
Yeah, they're fucking your eyes out.
They pay me for the car. They have to pay 10% of the value of the car to the police. But now they have an asset to go resell and recoup a lot of their money, right?
Yeah.
Part of this problem is insurance companies don't care to find them because they're just going to jack up the rates and offset the thing anyway. When the Joplin tornado hit, Joplin is 4 hours from my house.
Ugh.
When the Joplin tornado hit and devastated the town of Joplin,
yeah,
my insurance rates went up by thousands of dollars a year.
Yeah.
Because I live in the same state that tornado happened in, right?
I think mine are $6,000 a year now.
We're all going to be paying for the hurricanes. All across the nation, all the rates are going to go up because of hurricanes that happen states away.
Yeah, they need to have statewide insurance.
Yeah.
Instead of national.
Right.
Or quadrants.
Yeah.
You know, groups of states in certain areas.
Yeah, but regions or something like that.
Yeah, like you want to live on the ocean, it's going to cost you more.
Let me ask you this, Dave.
Ask me.
If you rob a bank, which is a felony.
I've thought about it a million times.
And somebody dies in the commission of you committing that felony, who is charged with their death?
I know this because we talked about it
yesterday.
I am.
You are, right? Yeah. So
I think it's a manslaughter charge.
I don't know what it is.
It's manslaughter.
But the current law right now is if somebody dies during the commission of a felony, the person who committed the felony is charged with the death. And they take this all the way through. And what I mean by that is they go, let's say I go rob a bank and I have a fake gun in my hand, in my pocket. And I'm pointing my finger out of my hoodie pocket.
Yeah.
Right?
Mitch in his 20s.
Yeah. And I've got a fake gun and I stick my finger out there and I say, put all the money in the bag. And
Bitch.
The bank teller over there, let's say she's elderly, she can't handle the stress or the anxiety of being robbed, and she dies of a heart attack on the spot.
Yep.
I didn't even have a weapon. But because I'm robbing a bank and committing a felony, and she died during the course of that felony, I am now charged with her death. That is a current law right now. Okay?
Okay.
If we can have that as a law, and we can put somebody's death on somebody that's unrelated to it, right? Now, let's say that bank teller is overweight. Let's say she's unhealthy. Let's say she was on the verge of death anyway. Right?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. You're charged with her death.
Yeah.
Right? So if we can do that already, then it's my suggestion that we change the state law that if you're caught driving or in possession of a stolen vehicle, you are charged with the theft of that vehicle regardless of whether you stole it or not.
Yeah.
That is the only way you are going to stop car thefts. Because if Tyrone wants to go borrow Cletus's car and he knows Cletus steals car from time to time, Tyrone ain't going to go borrow Cletus's car.
I have a cousin named Cletus.
Yeah. One of Mason's favorite YouTubers is Cletus McFarland. But I'm just using hillbilly names, right? So if Tyrone wants to go borrow Cletus's car, but he knows this law now, and he knows Cletus steals cars from time to time,
he ain't going
to
drive it.
He ain't going to go borrow Cletus's car, because if he gets caught driving it and that car comes up stolen, he's now charged with grand theft auto.
Well, criminals are dumb. He probably is. But yeah, you're right. It'll curb it.
It'll curb it, right?
And I know people are probably like, well, how would he know this and that? Look at the fucking registration. It's got his damn name on it.
Right.
And you're supposed to keep it in the car. It's legality.
Right.
Like, it's right there. Open the damn glove box and fucking look at it.
Right. Right. But, like, that's the only way you're going to curb this, because right now, criminals aren't dumb. Criminals are smart.
Some criminals are smart.
Some of them are dumb.
Most of them are dumb.
But like a criminal is not going. The reason they're doing it right now is because they know all they got to say is I borrowed this car from my cousin, and they don't get a Grand Theft Auto charge.
Yeah.
So, and they're going to go spend, you know, a night in jail and bond out and whatever else, but it's a misdemeanor. It's done. It's like a DUI, right?
Yeah.
So the only way you're going to curb this is if you make it illegal. So like, as I was thinking, like going through my thought process on this, I thought being in possession of stolen property or charged with the property. But with Facebook Marketplace and everything else, like you can go buy used tools all the time and you don't know if they're stolen or not. And there's no way to know, really, right? And so
no, unless it's higher end and has a serial number on it. No, right. You're right.
You could accidentally be in possession of stolen property. And so you wouldn't want this law for that, right? If I go,
I think there should be a price, a number on it.
Well, it has to be like a serialized registered stolen property, right?
Yeah. Over X dollars.
Well, and
to be a felony.
So that's why I just went to car thefts. Car thefts are registered. They're registered in the motor vehicle department as stolen. It's a national broadcast. It's very easy to know if a car is stolen or not. But if I go buy a Sawzall off of Facebook Marketplace,
yeah,
I don't know if the guy used it himself and is just selling it, or if he stole it and he's selling it off or whatever. So you can't really
get
just
that
say
crack money.
Yeah, you really can't even say over a certain dollar amount, because what if this guy has 40 Sawzalls, right?
Each individual item.
Yeah.
But you know what might be a good idea? Maybe I'll make a short about this. Maybe we should talk to Mark Alford.
Well, so
like, and run it up the chain.
Well,
like,
so
I don't know him personally. I said that like I know him. I don't.
I've been in contact with our mayor, Chris.
Oh, Mr. Lucey. Great dude.
Yeah. He acts like that they're like, he didn't say it can happen, like it will happen or can happen. It could happen that we change the laws in our city to do that. His only thing is it would have to go through all the legal stuff and to be deemed constitutional. Right. And so,
well,
Grand Theft Auto is a felony.
I think it would be constitutional. I think right. You could do it.
Right. And so, you know, he even mentioned the burden of proof is on the state to prove that they stole the vehicle. And I'm like, I would think the burden of proof should be on the criminal to prove that they didn't steal the stolen vehicle they're riding in.
No, because it's innocent until proven guilty. That's why the burden's on the state. That is the Constitution. May be what he meant by constitutional.
Possibly. But yeah, but also burden, innocent until proven guilty. I didn't kill the bank teller behind the counter. She died because of old age and a heart attack. You know what I mean?
But that's not what the law says.
Correct. But
if the law says,
that's why we got to change the law.
I'm talking about the old lady. The law says that. So if you change the other law, yes, then the law would go off of it. But it's still the burden of proof is still on the state. That will never change.
But
it's like, not guilty till proven innocent. It's innocent until proven guilty.
It is innocent until proven guilty.
That's a slippery slope, too.
But here's the thing. When you change the law, if you're caught driving a stolen vehicle, you are now proven guilty of theft because the law says.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get it.
It's not like you're having a mini trial, right?
Oh, there'd be a trial.
You're in possession of the stolen property, and on the new laws, that means you're charged with the theft of that property. That is literally the only way you're going to curb this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, people are going to go buy $60,000 cars, $100,000 cars, and they're going to get stolen, and they're just told, sorry, they're told by the 911 dispatchers, don't tell me how to do my job. Keep your case report number on, tattoo it on your hand, keep it on the ready at all times.
I'm going to bust your balls because I just love to do it. I love how personally this has affected you.
Well,
and let me finish. You and Danielle both, and I know, like, you've had your house broke into. That's very personal. That's like, I think that's more personal than your car being stolen.
It absolutely is.
But I think you've taken this more personally than that.
Well, so
like, because it just, and I'm not faulting you.
Right.
I think I would probably feel the same way. I think, like, if I was in your shoes, I would be just as fucking mad, and I'd be just as upset, and I'd be running it up the chain, just like everybody, like you are now.
Well, so our house break-in is actually the catalyst for all of this. Only I didn't have the knowledge, and I didn't have the
platform.
That was
a long, yeah. How old were you guys?
You had
been in here 1 year, right?
Yeah, it was like 11 years ago.
Yeah.
11 or 12 years ago. But So we built our house. We were the only house in this neighborhood. Our first summer here, it was a Friday the 13th.
Was it really?
Yeah, I'm working 45 minutes away. Danielle's on the phone with me. She comes home from work and opens the garage to see our house being robbed and guys running out the back door with TVs and shit like that.
Because your back door was unlocked.
It was accidentally unlocked.
Yes.
Right. So,
most home thefts are because people leave their shit unlocked.
Yeah. So she's like, what do I do? I'm like, hang up the phone with me. I'm going to head home, hang up the phone with me and call the cops. So she calls the cops.
Get in your car, drive down the street and call the cops.
I am 45 minutes without traffic away from the house. And this is in the afternoon. And there is definitely traffic.
And you're doing 95.
And I'm in a one ton box truck. Okay. I beat the cops to my own. The cop station is 3 miles from here.
Blue Springs cops are.
I beat the police to my own house by 20 minutes.
Yeah.
They took over an hour to show up to an active robbery.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're back then they were, I say back then, I don't know how they are now.
Right.
But back then they were, it was bad.
I still remember everything very clear with this. I'm not going to say the officer's name because he was a douche, but he's a douche because of the policy, not because of him. The thieves left me one gun. I went inside, found the one gun they left me, and I went room to room and made sure nobody else was in the house.
You cleared the house?
Yeah.
Nice.
So then, as I'm walking out the front door, here the cops come down the street, and they start giving me shit for walking out of my own house holding a gun.
Yeah, I told them
and
fuck off.
I chewed them out. I'm like, you guys are way too fucking late. I just did your job for you. Yeah. I don't think anybody's in here. And they're like, can you put the gun down? I'm like, fuck you. No.
Yeah,
I'm hanging on to this until you come with me through the house, and we both ensure there's nobody in here.
Yeah, fuck you, dude. I live here.
There could be somebody hiding in here, and we don't know, right?
I love how everyone acts like when you have a gun, like it's the worst thing ever. You're not allowed to hold that. First off, the Constitution says I am.
Yeah.
Second off, this is my property and my fucking house.
That just got robbed, and I'll be damned if I put this gun down right now, right?
Yeah, like I'm not... You know, you used to not be able to conceal carry.
Yeah.
Like, it's not concealed. It's out.
It's a shotgun.
You can fucking see it.
Yeah.
Everyone can see it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's well, we're just afraid you're going to... We called you.
Yeah.
Like,
So then he comes through the house with me. We verify nobody's in here and all this stuff. And then we look on the back door and there's a greasy nose print and 10 perfect fingerprints on the back door.
Oh, we
where
can't
they were,
prove that he
where
was
they
in
were
your
peering
house.
Into that. And I said, are you guys going to take those prints? And they said, no, they're not admissible in court. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, those prints are the guy that stole our stuff. And they go, no, we can't prove that. They're on the outside of the glass. That could have happened 3 days ago. We can't. And
he's right.
And he's only speaking from what our current... our piss poor prosecuting attorney at the time, Jean Peters Baker.
She wasn't the...
At that time, then. She was.
Was she?
Yeah.
That was 11 years ago.
She was in there for a while.
This is also why I have fucking really nice cameras on my house.
Yeah. Well, the cameras don't do shit either. You can't prove that guy on the camera is the guy on the stand.
Yeah, you can.
Well, here's the other thing.
I have them in my house, too.
Well...
They're in the house. And so, listen, if you ever come over to my house and think you're doing something freaky with Danielle, like we're in the other room, be careful because there's cameras fucking everywhere.
So I ask him
and
about the fingerprint
will
thing.
Put it on the internet.
And he says, we can't use those for that. And I'm like, okay, but if you check those prints and the guy's got priors of theft and the guy doesn't live in my neighborhood and I don't know who the guy is, that's the guy who stole our stuff. And he looks me dead in the eye and he says, unless we catch them in the act walking out of your house with the stuff, we can't charge them and we can't go after them. And I looked him dead in the eye and I said, I guess you shouldn't have taken a fucking hour to get here then.
Yeah, no shit.
So then this is where the guy pissed me off and I told him to leave. He starts giving me advice on where I should hide my guns around my house so that they don't get stolen.
I got mine in a vault.
He's like, you should hang them on hangers in between your clothes and all this shit. And I'm like, how about you do your goddamn job and I don't have to hide guns in my own house?
Yeah.
I mean, for God's sakes, we called you as they were running out the back door.
And
if you would have got here.
An hour.
If you would have got here in time, you could have found them. They would have been down the street.
Yeah.
But no, they're in like Kansas by now.
Yeah.
Right? So
unbelievable.
But it's things like that that allow the theft to go on. We had a tablet stolen out of one of our work trucks, and that tablet got stolen. We have it on. It happened in a CVS parking lot. We have the person getting out of a car, stealing the tablet, getting back in the car, and leaving. CVS wouldn't give me the footage. They would only give the cops the footage. The cops had to get a warrant to get it. The cops acted like they were being put out. I demanded, go get a warrant and get that footage. And they're like, dude, it's a tablet. They're like $150. I'm like, listen.
Why do you think you're getting paid, dog?
I said, listen, you dumb motherfucker. We have a... Whenever somebody tries to get out of their job, I lose my cool, right?
Oh, yeah.
I said, listen, you dumb motherfucker. It's not the value of the tablet. It's the value of the information that's on the tablet.
Yeah.
We operate a plumbing company. There's over 4,000 customers in our database. All their customer information is on that tablet. Okay. So now they go get it, right?
People are fucking lazy, dude.
I call the cops they never called me. I called them back and I'm like, hey, did you guys get that footage? Yeah, we went and reviewed it. And I'm like, cool. Did you get the license plate? Yep, you can see it plain as day. Sweet. Let's go to the house. No, we can't do that. What do you mean?
We don't know that.
We can't prove the person driving the car owns the car. We can't prove the person that got out of the car to steal the tablet is the owner of the car. So we know the license plate, we know who owns the car, but that's not enough information to get a warrant and go knock on their door. Like, literally, they find ways to get out of it, and it's because the legal system, the burden of proof is on the state.
Yeah.
Right? So you gotta change all of that shit. And, I mean, you're not going to be able to fix everything, and you're not going to, like, it's never going to be a perfect system, but if you take high-value assets like cars... and you charge the person driving the stolen vehicle or in possession of the stolen vehicle with the theft of that vehicle, that shit will stop in a matter of months.
It won't stop, but it'll be curbed.
It'll be curbed really quick.
It'll roll. Right. Yeah. You could probably lessen it by 75% would be my guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like realistically, I would never do this because I've done enough. You know, if you and I wanted to run a theft ring, we could be rich as fuck. Never take your phone. Rule one.
So I had to talk with a higher up. I believe her name was Stacy Graves, the chief of police. I think Stacy Graves is a guy. I'm not sure. I had to talk with a higher up person. I can't remember who it was to get that CD recording. And I was venting to her a little bit about the system. And she's like, tell me about it. And I'm like, well, I mean, you don't even care either. Like,
she cares, but she's been in it long enough. Whoever has been in it long enough to know that there's nothing they can do.
Right. And so it's like, I told her flat out, I'm like, I might as well start stealing cars. There's no punishment for it.
No.
And as long as I don't get caught actively getting in the car, the moment I'm a block away, I'm safe. So like, why wouldn't I start stealing cars and start parting them out?
I'm telling you, chop shop. Old classic cars, pull everything off of them, put them off on that.
Yeah, done.
When you have a frame and a body that are mismatched, they allow you to make a new serial number if the car is over X amount of years old.
Yeah.
It's just like it's ripe for theft.
Yeah.
And they're not doing anything about it.
Nothing.
Like Janine and I don't drive really nice cars. Like we drive reliable cars and we drive them until they're dead because I view them as tools.
Yep.
If I buy a wrench and it gets dinged up and gross and nasty, if it still works,
yep.
I don't give a shit.
Right.
Okay. We've got the 68 Camaro that's nice. It's put the fuck away. We hardly ever drive it. It makes me nervous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like even if I take that, anyone can steal an old car.
Right.
That fucker's gone.
Yeah.
You know, yes, I get my insurance money, but it's like, man, all that hard work and sweat and getting everything together, like,
well, that's part of the unnerving thing about the so we had a YouTube video on this that got like 5 million views, and a lot of the comments are like, dude, insurance paid you, what do you care?
I
care about the betterment of humanity. Like, this goes beyond me and my car. Yes, insurance paid me. Yes, I've replaced the car.
It's the principle of the thing.
It's if you're in the position to increase society for the better, if you're in the position to do your community a good service, you do it, right?
Yeah.
That's ultimately where politics originated. Nobody wanted to be politicians. They reluctantly did it because they were knowledgeable and smart enough to do it, right?
Yeah, they wanted to do something better than themselves,
yeah.
Something greater than themselves.
Right.
So they sacrificed making money
yep.
because they didn't hardly make anything and did their public service.
Right. And so, you know, that, like, we have this podcast platform, we got some YouTube channel platforms and everything else. And
mine's about to come out, and, buddy. I'm so excited. Ugh.
So, like, we do all of that, and now your voice can carry farther and everything else. Like, my ability to affect change now is a whole lot stronger than it was when I was pissed off about the cops not doing anything about my house getting robbed. Like, the cops literally told me, we're not going to do anything with this. I'm only here to document this for your insurance company.
Yeah. And even if that's a whole nother thing, even the insurance deal, like, I have videos of everything I own in my house with serial numbers.
Yep.
Because if you can't prove you owned it or have a receipt or whatever, you're fucked.
Yeah.
The insurance company's literally fucking you.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to do that with all of our tools and stuff in the plumbing company.
Yeah.
Too.
Anytime I probably do it twice a year.
Yep.
Because I know some stuff I sell, some stuff I keep, blah, blah, blah. You know, I go through and do it all.
Yeah.
Take your cell phone. This is a good lesson for everyone. Take your cell phone and record serial numbers and stuff you have in your house so that you can get paid if something does happen.
Well,
and I don't mean theft, fire, water damage, anything.
Anything, right? Yeah. Scan your house with all the valuables in it once a year on your cell phone. Email it to yourself. Email the video to yourself.
And so it'll go on the cloud.
It'll go on the cloud. It'll just stay there.
Yep.
Email it to your spouse. Email it to your insurance
agent,
whatever.
Put it on an SD card. Throw it in your fucking safe. If you don't have a safe, get a safe, you idiots.
Well, that's why I say email, is because, like, you don't, if you put
it
in an SD.
That's the backup of the backup.
Yeah, you put it on an SD card and your house burns down, you've lost your SD card.
Yeah, but I got a vault and a safe inside of a vault.
Yeah, you got a fireproof vault and everything else, but still temperature can even affect it, even if
it
didn't catch fire. So you put it on the cloud, email, whatever else, and that's your safety net, right?
Yeah.
No
one in the world is looking out for you anymore, it seems like.
Yeah.
You got to look out for yourself.
Yep.
You got to cross all your T's, dot all your I's, and fucking be ready.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be the pessimistic asshole that's like, everything bad's going to happen. It's not, but for 10 people, one person's going to go through it.
Right.
For 20 people, it's the law of averages. Something's going to fucking happen to somebody.
And this is just the natural way of things. A lot of people have said, wow, you're taking this really personal, or you're not letting this go, or whatever else. And it's like, no, it's not that I'm not letting it go. I never was aware how bad the problem was until it affected me personally.
Yeah.
And I've seen directly how bad the problem is. And
now you've taken it personal because it's so bad.
Well, and I'm also a huge advocate against complaining without a proposed solution. If you bring up problems without a proposed solution, you are doing nothing more than wasting time complaining, and that gets nowhere, right?
Democrats. Oh, sorry.
So it's not like I'm saying, oh, somebody needs to fix this. No, I have two very good solutions for it. Financially incentivize the cops and charge the criminals. That's the solution, right? So, and we also have a small platform that could help with this. So if anybody listening knows any state lobbyists or anything else,
I'm going to make a short that just says Mark Alford, Mark Alford, Mark Alford over and over
again.
Oh,
we can tag him in.
Maybe he'll, he's a good dude.
So,
I think he actually wants change.
Yo, he's a great dude.
He's in the county next to us.
He was, a real estate agent for a little while and he sold a couple of the house, like, he was right down the street, like 100 yards away. He was selling houses down there. Yeah. So, I actually sent him a message on Facebook.
Did you respond?
No.
Yeah, of course. He's probably got a team for that.
He's got a team for that. And he probably gets thousands of messages.
I met him. So you know where Tipsy Taco is now?
Uh-huh.
What was the name of it before? My friend Mark worked there. Ironically, they're both named Mark.
I can't remember what it was called. I know.
T-Bones.
T-Bones. Yep.
Anyways, Jenny and I were in there. They used to have really good food. So we were in there eating. Him and his wife came in. There was a live band playing and stuff. And I went up and talked to him. Nice. One of the nicest guys I've ever met that is a small-time celebrity.
Right.
Because he was on Fox 4 here in town.
Yeah, but local news anchor.
Super nice guy. Didn't know he was 4 foot tall.
Yeah.
Super nice guy.
Yep. Yeah.
Real genuine person.
Like, our mayor, Chris, he's put me in, like, he's told me who the people, like, our representatives are in my jurisdiction and everything else.
Yeah.
But he's like, if you're wanting to change a law in Blue Springs, talk to me. And so I'll be in talks with him to see what it takes.
Don't burn,
like,
up too much of his time. He's busy.
Well, right. But, I mean, shit.
I know.
This morning, I saw a post on the Blue Springs Community Awareness page that somebody's Dodge Charger got stolen.
Yep.
Right?
I saw that too.
And that's kind of the frustrating part with all this is, like, a lot of those comments, that YouTube video has like 6,000 comments on it. And I've replied to every single one of them.
I don't. When I say you're not doing anything, I don't mean it.
Yeah.
Like,
so
you're doing a lot. Like, Dude, I don't have patience for that. Well, like, holy fuck.
Part of that's just my knowledge of how the social media works.
We're going to have to hire a social media.
Yeah. But
interactor.
A lot of those comments are like, dude, that's why you don't buy a Dodge, because they get stolen. And I'm like, right there, that's the problem. Why should I be limited on what I can buy for fear the legal system will let me down? Right?
Yeah.
Like
that my tax dollars go towards.
With that logic, nobody should ever own a motorcycle, because somebody could just pick it up off the street and drive away with it.
Yeah.
Right?
I shouldn't own a Camaro.
You never
or a 65 Mustang that I can start with a fucking screwdriver.
You should never own a convertible, Dave. Because somebody could just jump right. It doesn't matter if your door's locked.
They could just pee in it.
Yeah.
They could pee in it, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And like, when our house got robbed, we accidentally left the back door unlocked, right? And the cops are like, well, you left the door unlocked. I'm like, does that give anybody permission to be in my fucking house? No.
No.
And I told that guy right then, I'm like, if I drive a convertible, it doesn't matter if I lock the door or not. If somebody jumps over the top, they're in somebody else's property.
Yeah.
And I just, I have no wiggle room when somebody tries to excuse illegal behavior.
Yeah.
And so a lot of these other people are like, in that short form video, we talk about how I got an insurance settlement packet, but the check doesn't come for a long time after the packet. And the car is mine until the check hits the bank. And the insurance packet flat out says this.
Yeah, I know.
This is not
I had my truck stolen, I know.
Yeah, this is not a settlement. You are still the rightful owner of the car. Like in big bold letters in the very first page of the packet, it says, if we find the car in the course of working through this packet, the car comes back to you. Like all of that's in there, right? And so there's a lot of people in there that assume I got paid. And they're like, you're trying to chase the insurance company's car. It's not your car anymore. And I'm like, technically it is. Like, I'll give you that. But then other people understand that the packet doesn't mean payment. And they were like,
no, it doesn't. That's a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, the other people are like, dude, you already got the packet. Payment was soon to come. Why do you even care? Because it's still my property that somebody else is in. It's still somebody else in somebody else's property.
Yeah.
Like, it's still illegal behavior. And if we don't have some kind of a general sense to try to stop illegal behavior, we're fucked. And so a lot of those comments, I just started replying to them. And I'm like, you sound like a thief.
Yeah.
You know, and some of the people are like, why risk your life for a car? Well, for one, I didn't risk my life.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I chased my stolen car.
That's not,
but that's not hardly risking my life.
People think if you go outside in the middle of the day, you're risking your life.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, the temperature is over 95. You could die. You're risking your life.
Yeah.
Like, dude, come on.
Well, and they're like, you said in there you were allegedly going 70 or 80 on neighborhood streets. Yeah. That's not risking my life.
That's risking someone else's, bitch.
And they were like, what if somebody's out in the street? I'm like, dude, this is the middle of the freaking ghetto. Ain't nobody playing outside. And in the dead of winter on a school day during like at noon. This happened at noon.
Who cares?
So, dude, like, ain't nobody playing outside in the dead of winter in the middle of the ghetto. It's like 13 degrees outside.
Yeah. Like, you should have been like, well, if the cops would have came, I wouldn't have had to.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah. But it's just a weird position to be in. But ultimately, the whole narrative of this show is stand up for what you believe in. And if you have the power to affect change, then affect change. If you have the power to do better or offer solutions that improve things for the better, do it. That is all our moral and ethical obligation to do.
Yeah.
Much like in our business, we do that Family First program where we take care of plumbing repairs free of charge for people that can't afford them.
Yeah.
That's because I believe it's every business's moral and ethical obligation to give back to their community in the largest capacity they can, right? If I have a platform that can help maybe change a law, if I have a platform that can help maybe lower everybody's insurance rates in the nation, if I have a platform that can help collar a lot more criminals, I'm doing everybody a disservice by not using it. Right?
Agreed.
And if I have connections and a logical path to make those things come true, then it's like people should be mad at me for not doing that. Right? So
they won't be.
When you see bad things happening, it's very okay to stand up and put a stop to them without going on the aggressive. Right? Like that day, I was not armed. I do conceal carry. That day, I was not. And I can't decide if it's a good thing or a bad thing that I didn't that day because
you could have been shot.
Well,
you could have done something stupid.
I've never, as a concealed carry person, I've never had the inclination to pull my weapon out on the offensive. Right?
No, if you pull your weapon on the offensive, you are automatically going to jail usually.
Yeah.
That's the rule of thumb.
And so like,
but it also means you could die. So
but it was a conscious thing going through my head of like, I'm unarmed, so I'm a little limited on what I could do. Like when I pulled around the corner and I was face to face with the car for a second.
Yeah.
That's what popped through my head is I don't even have a gun. So like I wanted to get out and pop the tires and disable the car. But I didn't even have a weapon. Like, I probably would have gotten out and popped the tires on the car.
You don't carry a pocket knife every day?
No.
I'm old school. I always do.
I would have had my knife, but I didn't have a gun to protect myself.
Oh, while you were popping your own
tires?
Yeah,
because I didn't know where they were. If they were in the house, coming out of the house, if they were in the car.
Gotcha.
You know, all of that. So, but here I am doing 1,000% more than the cops are doing to try to stop this. And now I'm going to go 10,000% more than the cops and try to change the legal system to get it done.
We'll see.
This one actually stands a chance. The last time I tried to change laws, I got shut down pretty quick because
it was a bullshit law.
Well, I wanted to make gas burning appliances illegal for sale unless you are a licensed to install it.
Yeah, and I still think that's bullshit.
And it is infringing on a little bit of rights, but the problem is the manufacturers that sell those gas-burning appliances in Home Depot and Lowe's and Menards, you're up against all the manufacturers' money, you're up against Home Depot and Lowe's and Menards'
money.
You're
up against me.
You're up against a lot of people.
If I want to go put my own fucking water heater in my own house that I fucking paid for,
yeah,
let me do it.
Well,
I don't care.
I know.
There's no argument.
The logic for that is I can't go put in my own air conditioner because of the EPA laws prevent it.
We
right?
should also get rid of the damn EPA.
Maybe.
So
yeah, either get rid of the EPA or make a gas law about it too.
Let
right?
me ask you this. If they get rid of the EPA, you going to feel better about it?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Because it's about money.
Which is bullshit. No, it's not about money.
Of course it is.
It's about morons going out there being able to buy gas burning appliances that have no training or knowledge on how to put them in.
Dude. It's called, what do they call it? Survival of the fittest?
Yeah, Darwinism.
Who gives a shit?
Well,
if you blow yourself up because you're willing to take the risk, it's not Mitch's job to protect me from killing myself being an idiot.
No. But,
you know what I mean?
With gas burning appliances, you affect a lot more than just you. When a house blows up, it affects not only everybody in the house, but also the surrounding houses.
Maybe.
Right? And
you're talking about a 0.00001% chance of that happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It can still happen, though.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I could fucking shit a diamond tomorrow, too. You know what I mean? Come on, man.
You
We're
are pretty
reaching.
Tight.
I am tight.
So,
I haven't lost my watertight seal.
Oh, man. So, ultimately, guys,
can
if
you... Can you wrap us up? I got shit to do, man.
If you have an ability to affect change, you should absolutely do it. If you're working for somebody and you identify a problem, before you present the problem to them, try to come up with a couple of ideas for a solution. Because if you go to your boss or you go to your customer or you go to your spouse and all you do is bitch about a problem with no offering of a solution, you're just bitching. But if you go to them with a problem and you say, hey, I've noticed this problem and I think this might fix it, that might be the wrong solution, but at least it gets you out of the category of bitching about it and you're trying to be proactive about it. And it's not about whose solution is chosen. It's about what's the right solution, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't even care if they don't take my suggestions verbatim. And let's say they say, okay, we're going to do it, but the police get 5% instead of 10%. Cool. I don't care.
Yeah, whatever.
As long as we create, and I don't even care if they don't even get that. If there's a financial mechanism somehow to incentivize the police to go after stolen property, they'll go after it. But right now, they're more incentivized to write you a ticket for seven over than they are to go recover a $60,000 stolen car.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Dude,
right?
On the way home, I passed like six cops doing 15 over. Didn't get pulled over.
Yeah.
Just go, kept going.
Nice.
Maybe it wasn't 15. It's probably 10 or 12.
You're talking on the way home from the ski trip?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had
it. We were hauling fucking ass.
We had it parked at like 80. Speed limit on I-70 is what?
75.
75. We had it parked at about 82, 83 all the way home.
We passed you when you were pulled over on that bridge.
Oh, I was peeing.
I knew it.
We made two
fucking knew it.
Yeah, we made two stops on the way home.
Oh,
the first stop was
like
gas and pee. And then the second stop, I was like, I got to pee. We got drinks in the cooler, so we don't even need a gas station. Let's just go. So I grabbed some gas out of the cooler and went. So
Janine, I'm driving. She goes, Mitch and them were pulled over. She like pulls out her phone immediately.
Yeah.
I'm going to call Danny. I was like, babe, stop.
We're on the downhill side of an on-ramp. We're peeing.
If there was something wrong, Mitch would have called me.
Yeah.
I guarantee he's taking a leak.
Yeah.
Or so. Getting a piece of pizza.
Yeah.
Wrap us up, dude.
All right, so
2-hour show for those. Do you know how many texts I got and emails? There were Tradewinds members.
Yeah.
Why haven't you got? What happened to the podcast? What happened to the podcast? You guys gonna do the podcast?
Well, we were on vacation.
I told them all that.
What's crazy is we brought all the
busting my balls.
We brought all the equipment to do a podcast from the condo.
Mitch was too high.
Yeah. The problem was, by the time we got off the slopes and got showered and fed, we were not in the right frame of mind. Like, we could have done a podcast, but it would have been
incapacitated.
It would have been hilarious.
You know what? It wasn't the not doing the podcast. It was, man, I got to get all this shit out and set it up. And
yeah.
Like, I was like, nah, this ain't happening.
Yep.
Janine, she goes, hey, weren't you guys supposed to do a podcast tonight? And Mitch is like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
So. Oh, it was good times.
Oh, well.
All right, buddy.
All right. So good luck to the teams in the Super Bowl. Go Chiefs. And
Chiefs.
We will catch up with you guys later.